You're listening to The Cube Show on demand. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's The Cube Show.
This is All Born Radio.
I am a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the world championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I!
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Lino coming up in just a moment, but first let me give you the phone restore call of the day. If you dropped your phone or iPad and have the dreaded spider web across the screen, is your computer not working right? Bring it to the guys at Phone Restore. Most repairs are done in less than 1 hour, located at 900 Bob Wallace Avenue. You can visit them online, phonerestore.com. Cole Kublick, your call of the day brought to you by Braves Day Baseball.
Breaking ball, hit on the ground to short. Swanson up, goes to his buddy at second, Jace Peterson. And that will end the game. There's the ground ball that Jim Johnson is always seeking. Fielder's choice ends the drama and the game. And the Braves get out of here with a two-game sweep in a rain-marred series. Final score today, Braves 7, Mets 5.
Two-game sweep, that's funny. Anyway, it's a phone restore call of the day. Good friends at phonerestore.com. Check them out, phonerestore.com.
Excited to welcome in Carly Aquilino. She'll be performing at Stand Up Live Huntsville this weekend. Carly, good morning. How you doing?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
Is this your first trip to Alabama?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, having never been here, when you hear Alabama, like, what comes to mind?
Farms.
Okay.
And nice people.
Polite. I like to think that we have...
Charm, southern
there
charm.
You go. Okay. So is there anything in, maybe not even Huntsville specifically that you want to see, but just an Alabama-related item that you're like, man, I need to check that out.
I want to go to the NASA Museum.
Okay, Space and Rocket Center, yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Is it for kids?
Yeah, but we're all kind of kids at heart, right?
Yeah.
There's, stuff for adults.
Okay. I want to do, like, virtual reality stuff. Do they have that?
I don't know.
Like, you get it.
Know.
It's like a pretend spaceship.
Because anytime,
yeah, I sometimes go to places that I'm like, oh, this is definitely for kids, but I'm still going to wait in line with a bunch of five-year-olds to do this thing.
I will say this, Carly. If you go to the Space and Rocket Center and they don't have that, Chuck E. Cheese does have that.
Okay.
And we have that in town.
Okay.
So you can do
good. There's a Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, perfect.
So how did you get into this? How did you become a stand-up comedian?
I always wanted to try it. I had always, like, written jokes when I was in high school and stuff like that and, like, little sketches that I thought would be funny. And then I ended up I never really had the nerve to get up on stage and do it because that's half the battle is going up the first time. And I was like, all right, if I hate it, I never have to do it again. Nobody knows who I am, so it's not that embarrassing, you know?
Right.
And then I did it and I ended up liking it, even though, I mean, the first year that you do stand up, it's kind of scary. I mean, I feel bad for my family for watching me so many times in the beginning.
What was that first? That first experience on stage, was it comedy? Was it theater? Something
yeah,
else?
It was comedy.
Did you have to sort of figure it out?
Yeah, it was stand-up, and it was really scary. I had never been on stage before ever in my life. I didn't do theater when I was in school, nothing like that. So it was definitely really nerve-wracking.
Did people tell you growing up, you're funny, you should try this? Did you see someone else and say, I want to be like him or her?
No, I was, like, really quiet in high school. I didn't, you know, in school in general, I was, like, quiet and didn't really talk much and wasn't, like, the class clown by any means. But I always say, like, maybe that's why I ended up being funny, because I talked to myself so much. Yeah, like, I was one of those people, like, I didn't have friends, so I would just, like, talk to myself and make myself laugh.
So I assume if you do, and I don't know if you do or not, if you bump into people that you grew up with or went to high school with, they're probably like, where was this?
Yeah.
Like, what? How did this happen?
Yeah, for sure. I get that a lot. Even my family was like, are you sure? And I was like, thanks, guys. Thanks for the support.
I'm always intrigued by this because I did a radio show previously with a guy who does stand-up. He'll actually be performing at the same club as you next weekend.
Oh, cool.
And Arky, our producer, he kind of dabbles in stand-up. What's the most difficult part of it now? Now that you've sort of made it, is it finding new material? Is it making sure people are into what you want to do?
Yeah, I think it is finding new material that resonates with people and that is relatable to people. Because it's also like traveling so much and being on the road for so long, you kind of lose that, like, every day. It's just different every day, and you're in a different city all the time. So that, to me, isn't relatable to everybody anywhere you
go
in the country. So, I mean, you could do airport jokes. You could do, like, hotel room jokes. But how much is that really going to resonate with people that aren't comedians doing it all the time? So I think that, yeah, finding new material and having those, like, life experiences that are relatable to people.
Can I give you a suggestion for this weekend?
Yeah.
No hockey jokes.
No hockey jokes.
Yeah, there's not a lot of hockey fans here. People will tell you that there are because people think this is a hockey town, but not.
I thought that there was a hockey game on last night.
Yes, where you were, which is about 2 hours
north.
In
Nashville.
Correct.
Yeah, their team is called the Predators, which I think is so interesting.
Carly performed in Nashville last night. And yeah, their team's actually doing well, but we have some lower-tier hockey teams here, and it's really not a big deal. But people like to pretend that it is. So my suggestion would be no hockey jokes.
No hockey jokes.
If you don't make fun of football, people will be all in on that. Because anything football is going to do really well here.
Yeah.
Whether you're making fun of it, or you love it, or you hate it, just football works.
Yeah.
So if you have football jokes saved up, this is the weekend to get those out.
Yeah, I don't really have many football jokes. Because I don't understand how football works at all.
But that's funny, see, because most of the people that you're talking to probably do.
Yeah.
And we always think it's funny to hear from, like, we have a political guy who comes in on Thursdays, and it's funny to hear him talk about football because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah. Oh, I have not a clue. With my ex-boyfriend, we would watch football, and he would get mad at me. He would be like, can you leave the room? Because I would ruin every game. I would ask too many questions about how it worked, and then I thought that if they missed like a goal or something that they take points away.
Which
and he
would
was like,
be solid strategy, by the way.
That's what I think.
It'd be good.
But he was like, they've never, like, no sport. They don't take points away in any sport. I don't know why
not
you
many
thought
points
that.
Attractions, like gymnastics, maybe? I don't even know if
maybe
they do
like
it there.
Coins in video games. Like, you lose coins. Maybe that's
that
what
is,
I thought
yeah,
real life
that's
was.
That's a legit subtraction, and there's a professional video game league now.
Yeah.
But you know what you did there? You stumbled on accidentally my strategy for not having to watch The Bachelor.
Yeah.
So when my wife watches The Bachelor, we try to bond and do that. And I figured out if you just ask repeatedly different
what
things about
this?
The show,
yeah.
Like, who's that girl? Why is she from there? Oh, she doesn't have a job. She's not very attractive. She's not on there. Why is he doing that? Why are they getting out of the limo? She's like, out.
Yeah.
You're done. It's over. And she never wants to be back.
Gets you off the hook.
There you go.
It's like when you do something, if somebody asks you to do something, do it wrong the first time so you don't have to do it again.
There it is. I like it. So Carly Aquilino will be performing at Stand Up Live Huntsville this weekend. So what can our listeners expect from you if they want to come check you out?
I kind of am a mess.
We
so
all are
if you want to feel
way.
Good about yourself, I would say, like, whatever you're going through, I feel like I'll make you feel better about it because I'm probably, I mean, I'm just a disaster half the time, but yeah, I'm just talking about what goes on. It changes depending on what I go through in my life and what I'm going through at the moment. So I think that, it's a fun show.
Do you have a go-to for material? And the reason I ask you that is, so we ESPN, I don't know if you know this or not, they laid off a lot of people yesterday. And we talked a lot on our show yesterday about how reporting on sports is really changing and information sharing is changing. So you're active on social media. Do you have like a go-to for material or is it more life experience?
It's more life experience, yeah. But it's also like just what's relatable to, I guess, a girl in her 20s, you know, like a girl in her 20s that's, you know, not in a relationship, not married. All my friends are getting married and having babies, which is so selfish. But they could do whatever they want to do, I guess, with their lives.
You're performing on stage every night. Not a lot of 20-something-year-olds are doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
What's the most underrated city that you have performed in and been to that you thought you would hate going in, and you're like, man, just not having to do with the club or the people, but just that city was pretty cool?
I'm trying to think. My favorite city ever, and I don't think this would be a surprise. One of my favorite cities is New Orleans, which is fun. But I think I was expecting to love that. I'm trying to think of like a small place. I really liked Vermont when I went there.
That would be one that's like no one would expect to hear that.
I wasn't expecting to love it because I always think Vermont like it's people skiing.
Yeah, you just get syrup.
Yeah, exactly. Much. I got syrup and they took it from me at the airport. I was like, this is stupid.
I did that one time. I was out of the country in the Grenadines, and they like had some fancy hot sauce. And the guy I was living with at the time was a big – he's like loved hot sauce. I'm like, I'm going to take this to him. Bought it. Security 50 feet away. They took it. Couldn't
it's like,
it.
Why, like do, why do they sell things before you go in?
Exactly.
Doesn't it's make so stupid. But, yeah, I really liked Vermont. I really liked Denver, Colorado.
Cool
That's
place.
A fun place.
Have you done your homework on the Denver airport?
No.
You should do that. Yeah.
Why?
Pretty wild. Conspiracy theories all over that place.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's because everybody's high over there.
Well, just look at what it's built on. They built a whole new airport for no reason. The other one was fine.
Weird.
The big Bronco with, like, flames coming out of his head, statue, metal statue, and there's, like, these Illuminati symbols, like, in the airport.
Interesting.
And they're, like, there is no Denver Airport Commission, but it says airport built by the Denver Airport Commission.
Mm.
That thing doesn't exist. It's pretty wild. Just Google it. Give you something to do in your downtime this weekend.
Yeah.
It's cool stuff.
For sure.
Carly Aquilino is going to be performing at Stand Up Live this weekend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having
Appreciate
me.
Appreciate you hanging out.
She's Cole. Sorry to interrupt. She's leaving anyway. Bye. They're pulling her out.
Yeah,
here.
It's all good.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Bye, Carly. Do you see her shirt? She has like a Mickey Mouse shirt on.
Yeah, my
like old
baby
school.
Cube would love that.
That's ridiculous. I mean, in a funny way. She's old school. MTV's Girl Code. Mentioned that she goes ZYP now. Sister stations.
Whatever. I haven't seen MTV's Girl Code.
I have not, but I talked to my wife.
Well, a lot of people should be surprised by that.
I talked to Mrs. Arkey about this yesterday, that she was going to be in studio, and she said Girl Code. Yeah, she knows Girl Code. So, obviously, probably good for the missus. So, it'll be good for a date night. So, if you want a chance to win a pair of tickets to see her tonight at the 7 o'clock showing, you can win tickets right now. All you got to do is text in the word Denver. Into 910-663-5663, because you guys were talking about the Denver airport.
Did you ever go back and do the research on that? Did you ever go look that up? Denver airport?
No, I'm not into conspiracy theories. You guys are weird.
Oh, this is one worth looking at, though.
How deep do I really want to get into this, though, really?
You do. You want to go see. Well,
I'll spend it in
it helps it helps when you're there and you see it in person, too. Because, like, Trophy Nuts was tweeting some stuff about it, and then when my cousins and I got to Denver, I didn't think about it, and then our spotter we went to dinner with, and he's like, oh, yeah, this is real. Check this out. So then Alex went to the airport early on Saturday to get out of there. It was a Friday night game. It was a high school game. And I recall what they were telling me, and I go around and start looking for this stuff, and it's like, oh, there's a giant mural of a Nazi soldier with an AK-47 and a sword. Oh, there's Illuminati hieroglyphic drawings all over the place. It's weird, man.
Okay, let me just throw this out there before we get to tweets. Let's say it's true, and Carly looks it up, and I look it up, and it's just all true. Where does that then leave me?
It's a great question.
Then just completely uncomfortable with who rules the country?
Yep.
Because I'm already that way now.
Yeah. I guess. Watch your back.
CYA, bro.
Let's get to 10 after tweets.
Bring me the tweets!
Kevin Buckley at R-O-L-L-T-I-D-E-R-O-8 tweets at Cube Show. Just sprayed coffee across my windshield on the OJ and your wife story. Emoticon crying, smiling face. Yeah, if you missed that, when OJ Howard was drafted last night, they showed the lunatic Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan in his creamsicle hat and polo going bananas.
Very white guy.
And my wife, dead serious, turns to me on the couch and says, that's him? So,
to be
fair, it's as hard as I've laughed in a long time.
They immediately cut to him. They immediately cut to that guy.
I'll give you that.
So if you're not much of a film watcher or an Alabama fan or just a football fan, you could probably be a little bit confused. Like, he's really excited. I already got the Tampa Bay jerseys, Tampa Bay colors on.
College Football Talk tweets Michigan UCLA to do combined football camp this summer. You thought that was going away, didn't you?
Nope. Just starting. Hey, this tweet comes from Roger Sherman, who tweets from a quote from Adoree Jackson, who was asked yesterday after he was drafted what type of coverage he likes to play. Quote, "I like to play man-to-man. I like to play zone." Those are the only two. I like the first response to it, which was Keith, who says, "He passed the test. He's going to be good."
Chuck Dunlap tweeted 8 hours ago, "SEC leads nation, ties all-time national record with 12 selections in the first round of the 2017 NFL draft." Not a lot of folks talking about this, I don't feel like.
Well, there's so many storylines from last night.
And that's probably why.
Missouri defensive lineman being taken also that gets quietly thrown under the radar.
I've got some more. Ralph DiRusso, AP, tweets, 4 first-rounders for Alabama is the school's most since 2012.
Mm.
So, yeah, they're good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Florida High School Football, at FLAHS Football, tweets 8 hours ago, "This is the first time since 2009 that no player that played high school football in Florida was selected in the first round of the hashtag NFL draft."
That's crazy.
I feel like IMG is going to change that trend soon.
They're turning some things.
Uncle Mike at Mike Sparkman tweeted 8 hours ago at Cole Kublik, Mike Mayock, quote, "I had 3 teams call me today and say something came late of the medical recheck with Reuben Foster."
I wonder what could have come late. Because, okay, let me just say this. I don't want to just purely speculate, but that's why I'm on the radio. Do you think it could possibly be drug test related? Because drug tests take a little longer to get the results for. It's not like MRIs and the doctors on sites take that much longer to find out the information. So I wonder what, and part of this, I need to know what he means by late. Like, as in the medical rechecks when they were happening last week late, or as in, like, getting information, like, yesterday late? What does late mean?
Yeah,
I
don't know.
That's going to be very key to trying to figure out what happened and why Mr. Foster fell down to 31. Because what else would take that much longer? I mean, I'm assuming you would be doing in the rechecks maybe another urine test, maybe another blood test for everybody.
It's a good question.
Those could take a little bit more time.
Courtney Cronin, at Courtney R. Cronin, tweets, "McKinley is one of the better JUCO success stories out there. Gotta love seeing him this emotional on stage about his grandmother." It's former UCLA defensive lineman drafted by the Falcons who dropped some GDs and F-bombs on stage after taking a giant picture of his grandma.
But he did say sorry about my language right afterwards, but he also said find me later.
And we're going to get to the quarterback.
I
would say, if I'm a Falcons fan, I'm pretty bummed about that kid.
I would have liked having 98 on my team next year for the Cowboys if he just dropped a couple of more spots. If Atlanta hadn't jumped up there and grabbed him a couple spots ahead of the Cowboys, that'd have been a really nice piece for Dallas.
You mentioned Charles Harris. Here's Chris Felica at Chris Felica. Charles Harris is the 6th Missouri D-line linebacker taken in the first round since 2009. That's more than anyone else in span. Alabama 2nd with 5. That's crazy.
What are they doing
about
at that one position in Missouri that they can't figure out on the others?
It's wild. Robert Rayola, CPA, at Sports Techman, tweets, hashtag Alabama has the longest current streak of consecutive seasons with a first-round pick, now 8, hashtag NFL draft. Still a ways to go to catch Miami.
Miami's got 14.
Yeah. We'll get to a break. Cameron DeSilva joins us next to talk NFL draft. Well, Welcome back in Cube Show Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. And welcome in Cameron DeSilva now of Fox Sports to talk NFL draft. Cameron, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. What was the biggest surprise of, and there were a lot of them last night for you in the first round of the NFL draft?
Yeah, there were a lot of surprises. I was kind of surprised by the Chiefs going all the way up from 27 to get Patrick Mahomes, and then the Texans doing the same to get Deshaun Watson. Obviously, it was surprising, but by the same token, it was kind of not surprising because you see how these teams prioritize the quarterback. So, but that was fun to watch.
Do you just feel that, let's stick with Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, that just someone in-house confident on this young man's ability gets to work behind Alex Smith for a year or two, is that the most that we can make of this? Because to me, that was the biggest head-scratcher.
Yeah, that was surprising, but Andy Reid loves his quarterbacks, and for the Chiefs, they can now go into the season with Alex Smith as a starter. If Patrick Mahomes plays well in preseason and maybe they give him a chance. But I think the real goal is for 2018 when the Chiefs can cut Alex Smith and save $17 million and then roll with Mahomes if he's ready. So I think that was kind of the thinking there.
Cameron DeSilva joining us. He's an NFL writer for Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. The amount of movement that took place was a little surprising. The Bears go up one spot to take their quarterback. Do you feel that was really necessary?
Probably not. I don't think anyone, I personally thought the 49ers were going to take a quarterback, but I don't think many people did. So they probably could have stood pat and taken Trubisky. I think the worry was that a team like, say, the Browns were going to come up to number two and take Trubisky. But I mean, to give up two thirds and a fourth to get your quarterback, it's really not that bad. But, it was kind of surprising to see them go up one spot to make sure that they got him.
Is Corey Davis at five, even if he is the best receiver in this draft, is that too high for the Titans?
I don't think it was too high. That wide receiver was obviously a huge need for them. They saw Corey Davis as an alpha receiver for Mariota. He has good size, good speed. Obviously, he didn't work out at all in the pre-draft process, so he's a bit of a question mark. Nobody knows how fast he's going to run or anything like that, but I'm sure they tried to trade back, but that's good value there. It's just a little questionable because he hasn't worked out and he has injury history.
Visiting with Cameron DeSilva, NFL writer for Fox Sports, talking first round of the NFL draft. Some other surprises that I'm just intrigued to get your thoughts on. Garen Connolly at 24 to the Raiders. So there were people that were saying he could potentially be off all draft boards and a Lyle Collins situation might happen. How did you feel about the Raiders taking him at the 24 spot?
Yeah, I mean, it's a risky pick, but as long as they did their homework, it could prove to be a good value. If he's exonerated and cleared of all wrongdoing, then that's great for him and that's great for the Raiders. But if there's any doubt that he possibly did do something, it's going to be really bad for the Raiders because they're going to come away with the first round pick who may not play. So that was a risk they took. I'm sure they did their homework. I know a lot of teams did. So we'll have to see how that pans out.
Cameron DeSilva, Fox Sports with us, NFL writer. Reuben Foster slides to 31. 49ers bump up to grab him, which I think if a team can upgrade their front seven in round one, you're not going to see many do it as well as the San Francisco 49ers did in round one of this draft with he and Solomon Thomas. We heard Mike Mayock say some things about there were some question marks about the rechecks of Reuben Foster's shoulder that came out late. Do you have any idea how or why something like this could have come out so late that he almost slips out of the first round?
Yeah, I don't know why that came out so late. Medical rechecks were a few weeks ago, I think. So it was weird to see that kind of come out so late, but yeah, the 49ers had a great draft. John Lynch absolutely nailed his first round, going up and going back and getting Solomon Thomas, the guy he wanted all along, and then coming back up to get Reuben Foster. Their front seven, which was honestly the worst in football last year, they allowed the most yards rushing in the NFL. So they're going to have a really good, formidable front with Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, Thomas, and now Foster.
Visiting with Cameron DeSilva. Follow him on Twitter, at Cam DeSilva. Covers the NFL for Fox Sports. We have a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans that listen here in our area. I'm intrigued to get your thoughts on Taco Charlton out of Michigan going 28 to the boys.
Yeah, I didn't like that pick at all. The Cowboys needed a right end who can fly off the edge, someone like T.J. Watt who's athletic and quick, and Taco is not that. He's more of what they have already. He's going to be a left end who's good against the run. They have that in DeMarcus Lawrence and David Irving, and so they need Charles Tapper to come back and be a right end. But I wasn't a big fan of the pick, especially because it seemed like they window dressed their board and they had a second round grade on him when they had first round players still out there.
And I'm assuming that means that you like T.J. Watt to the Steelers at 30.
Yeah, I thought that was a good pick. He's not the most refined pass rusher, but he's going to outwork everyone, and he's gonna try to hone his craft as a pass rusher. As an outside linebacker, that's where he fits best. I thought the Cowboys were going to take him when he was still on the board, but now that he gets to remain a stand-up outside linebacker, that's a good fit for him.
I want to discuss a couple of the Alabama guys with you that some people say slipped. I think some of that is just happenstance. When you got teams moving up to take quarterbacks, obviously, you know, it's not going to matter where a defensive lineman and a linebacker end up. Cameron DeSilva of Fox Sports with us. Marlon Humphrey to the Ravens at 16. First player off the board for Alabama. Is it a good fit for him?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little rich for me. I thought there were better cornerbacks out there, but as we kind of saw, cornerbacks slid down the draft leading up in the final weeks to the draft, whether you had Sidney Jones getting injured, Fabian Moreau getting injured. So they kind of took a hit there. It is a good fit. He's a physical guy. He doesn't have long speed, so he's not going to be a guy who can hang with the deep passes. But in the Ravens defense, that's physical, he's a good fit there.
And Jonathan Allen, the next pick, 17, to the Washington Redskins. I feel like he's a good fit, regardless of system, regardless of franchise. I think he's going to be an amazing pro. Are the only real concerns about Allen the shoulders? Is that the only reason that he fell to 17?
Yeah, I got to believe that's the only reason. He's a great kid. I talked to him. He's a smart kid, so he's going to be a perfect fit in Washington. He can play anywhere on that defensive line, and to get him at 17 when he's honestly a top five talent in the draft, that was remarkable value. So they got an absolute steal there. They must have been dancing in the war room when he slipped all the way to 17.
What are your thoughts of Leonard Fournette to Jacksonville, or just Leonard Fournette as an NFL running back?
I think he's going to be great. I think he's a good fit in Jacksonville. He's going to kind of set the tone of the offense where they couldn't do anything last year. Blake Bortles was a mess. Chris Ivory didn't pan out as a free agent signing. So now at least they kind of have that identity. You know, Tom Coughlin loves his bruisers, whether it was Brandon Jacobs in New York. And so he's going to have his guy that they can pound the ball with. And I think he's going to have an Ezekiel Elliott type impact.
When you saw the move at 12, Houston moving up to take Deshaun Watson, what were your thoughts?
I thought it was a good move. I think they kind of had to do that. You can't go into the season and sell your fan base on Tom Savage being the starter. I think they were probably afraid that another team was going to take him, like the Browns, coming back up after the Browns taking him at 12, or you had the Cardinals sitting at 13. So I think they kind of not panicked, but they got concerned that they weren't going to get their guy. Because beyond those top three quarterbacks, you don't really know what you're going to get. DeShone Kizer's not ready. Davis Webb is not a huge prospect. So I think they kind of thought that they had to go up and get their guy, and it cost them a first-round pick. But in the end, I think it'll work out.
Cameron DeSilva, Fox Sports with us. A lot of folks in this part of the country, not all, some surprised that Derek Barnett's off at 14 with some guys like Charles Harris, like Jonathan Allen, still on the board. What were your thoughts of the former Tennessee Volunteer to the Eagles?
Yeah, I thought the Eagles were going to take Jonathan Allen. I think that would have been a great pick for them. He's not the biggest, most explosive athlete. He doesn't have great bend around the edge, but pairing him with Brandon Graham as their defensive end, it's going to work well for them. 14 was a little rich for me. He's not your Von Miller type edge rusher, which the Eagles needed, but in that wide nine defense, he's gonna he has good get off on the line, so he's gonna thrive in that role as a defensive end.
And Cameron, we had a historic low number of offensive linemen, the lowest since 1965, taken in the first round of the NFL draft. Do you expect there to be a run on offensive linemen in round two once we get going tonight?
Yeah, I think Forrest Lamp is there. He's going to come off the board pretty early. Cam Robinson's still sitting there. There's just not a lot of depth at that position in this draft. There's not a lot of talent at the top. It was just not a good offensive line draft. I wasn't really surprised by only two coming off the board. I kind of predicted that none would be taken in the top 15. So it wasn't all that surprising. It was just a matter of this being a defensive draft and there not being many offensive linemen.
Cam, we appreciate the time today. Cameron DeSilva, Fox Sports, covers the NFL and talking the NFL draft with us today. Appreciate the visit. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You can follow Cam on Twitter at Cam DeSilva, NFL writer for Fox Sports.
You asked him about a bunch of prospects. Did the only one he not like was the Cowboys?
I think so, yeah. He did say he thought Derek Barnett was a little rich at 14.
But liked him on the Eagles on the opposite.
Okay. Yeah, thought they would go Jonathan.
We can't have him back on. He's clearly a hater.
Well, every other Cowboys fan that I saw on Twitter hated the pick as well. So
I don't hate it. I don't know why people think he's only going to be a left end. I mean, I saw some film on him last night of being on the right end, too.
I sent it to you.
Did you send the right end?
Yeah, I sent you him playing right end against Florida State.
Oh, yeah, you sent. Well, I've seen one. Well,
the guy can rush the passer. He's big and physical. He can play the run.
Yeah, I saw also film of him against Ohio State, too.
He's a really good player.
On the right end. I think he'll be fine.
He's not super explosive. He's not your quick twitch guy like a Tim Williams or Hassan Reddick, but he is a very solid defensive end, can be an every down player for you. I think he's going to be a good player for Dallas.
I'll tell you what worries me just a little bit is that his name is Taco. I have no problem with Taco. I think his name's like Tudevante or something like that. What worries me a little bit is that he got a lot of numbers against quarterbacks who were staying in the pocket really, really, really long. So the Cowboys' back end isn't going to be able to defend the field that well now.
There's not a ton of mobile quarterbacks in the league, so that helps.
But I mean, like we're talking like guys who were in the pocket, like JT Barrett in the pocket for like 5-6 seconds before he was able to get to him. Concerns me a little bit. I agree with you. Not that explosive, but I think he's going to be fine.
All right, let's tell you about our friends from Madison RV Supercenter. Go to MadisonRV.com. Listen, we're talking about football today, the NFL draft. If you want to go tailgate to see your favorite team play, college or NFL, why not go to Madison RV Supercenter, see what they can do for you. Finance on site. Get into a brand new RV, fifth wheel, travel trailer, toy hauler for under $200 a month at Madison RV Supercenter, located just off 565 Walt Triana exit, right across from the airport. Go check them out today. That's Madison RV Supercenter. Tell Kim and Rod we sent you. Go to MadisonRV.com to see the inventory there. When we come back, Gerard Powers, former Colt, Cardinal, and Raven. Is Gerard's retirement the reason that Marlon Humphrey was selected? We'll ask him next. Welcome back in Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Just welcome in Gerard Powers, former NFL defensive back, to the show. Gerard, good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How specific, when it comes to positions, do some of these kids that are going to play secondary in the NFL need to be? Corner, safety, press corner, zone safety, nickel, hybrid. How many guys have an exact position in the secondary this day and age in the NFL?
It's still a good number of guys that, you know, plays one position and, you know, and it's going to stay that way. But the league is starting to transcend to more of a hybrid type players in a secondary. A lot of teams are starting to look for guys that can play multiple positions because it can save them in a way of making roster picks, you know, down the road when it's time to make that cut to the 53-man roster or, you know, making future draft picks. You know, if you know a guy that can play corner and he can also slide inside and play nickel, or if a safety goes down, you know, a guy can go back there and play safety as well. You know, it just saves you. It saves you picks and decision making on other positions rather than the secondary. So they might go into the league that year normally carrying, you know, 12 DBs, 11 DBs. Instead, they might carry 10 or 9. Like 1 year we did in Arizona, I think we had 3 corners listed, and then everybody else was kind of hybrid. And, you know, you can just go and choose another player from another position just because, you know, you got guys that can play multiple.
So when you see somebody like Jabril Peppers out of Michigan, who has even lined up at linebacker but has played a little bit of corner, has played some safety, how valuable is he for a team like the Cleveland Browns? They're going to see Baltimore. You know that offense well. They're going to see Pittsburgh. You played against that offense. Teams who can throw the ball on a regular basis. Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. What kind of value does he bring being as versatile as he is?
He brings a lot. You know, it's all going to depend on how Cleveland decide to use him. And if they got the right, you know, coaching staff in place that know what they're going to do with him, you know, it's going to work out fine. You know, he's a tremendous talent, you know, a guy that can, you know, play at safety and be sideline to sideline. He can play at backer and be downhill hitter. You know, he has the cover ability, so he's a guy that can, you know, play multiple positions. And as a defensive coordinator, you can kind of get exotic with your packages, knowing that you got a guy like that. You know, you don't have to be your traditional nickel, your traditional base. You know, you can throw him in multiple positions. And, you know, sometimes it's tough for offensive coordinators to figure out what type of personnel or what type of package you got in. Just because they're not sure of what position that one guy is playing. So I think it's definitely going to benefit Cleveland for sure, as long as they just use them right and don't just stick them at one position.
Visiting with Jerod Powers, drafted out of Auburn by the Indianapolis Colts, spent some time with the Cardinals, recently retired from the Baltimore Ravens. Did Marlon Humphrey get drafted because you retired? Is there an Auburn guy that opened up a spot for an Alabama guy here?
I mean, it's a young league. I wouldn't say that. I think Marlon's a heck of a talent. I think a lot of people were shocked he went, you know, high at 16, but I think he was just as good as any other top corners that you got in the draft. And I think Baltimore is definitely going to be a good fit for him. You know, Ozzie is a Bama guy. He's known for drafting Bama guys. So, you know, it's a connection there. I think he'll feel comfortable with Eric Weddle and Tony Jefferson, the safeties, and then Jimmy Smith and Brendan Carr there. So it's a veteran group that he can just come in and be quiet and just learn from those guys and, you know, accept his role until it's time for him to, you know, step up and be that big-time lockdown defender. You know, Baltimore is probably going to have one of the best secondaries, you know, in the league. You know, if you're just looking at it on paper with Tavon Young, the corner they drafted in the fourth round last year, he had a tremendous year, you know, as a rookie. And with Marlon and his background, you know, coming from Bama, already been in the NFL-style defense, nothing's going to be a shock to him. I think he's going to, you know, fit in right well and, you know, find his role and capitalize to the best of his ability. And, you know, I'm looking forward to watching those guys play. You know, Dean Pease over there at Baltimore is a hell of a defensive coordinator, and, you know, he got some guys he can use.
Jerod Powers joining us, former NFL corner. When you hear – one of the knocks that I've heard on Marlon Humphrey is – he sort of lacks the ability to locate the football in the air. Is that a common struggle for corners coming out of college, and is it something that can be easily repaired once you get to the NFL?
Oh, man, I've been in some, you know, dinner tables watching Bama games, watching Auburn games, and, you know, it seemed like fans say the same thing. You know, if a guy get a ball caught on him because he – to them, he hasn't looked back and found the ball. They think it's just the most terrible thing. You know, from what I saw with Marlon on a couple guys that caught balls on him, first of all, every ball was contested. You never saw Marlon just beat. You know, every ball was contested. And sometimes, you know, these guys are, you know, high-level first-round draft picks as well. I mean, you look at the guy from Clemson. He went, what, 7th overall, 6th overall, Mike Williams, the receiver. So, I think Marlon's doing what he's been taught. You know, I played in Coach Muschamp's system, which him and Saban kind of teaches the same thing as far as in the secondary. And, You know, they teach you if you're a half a step beat or whatever, you're supposed to play the receiver hands. But if you're not in phase, that's what you do. But if you're in phase, you look back and find the ball. And from what I've seen from Marlon in a few games I've watched, that, you know, he has tremendous cover skills. And, you know, sometimes, you know, those guys, sometimes these quarterbacks are good enough to put balls in places where the defensive back, no matter how good your coverage is, you know, they're going to still throw it in there and the guy's going to be able to make a catch. But he really made way more plays than he ever did getting beat. So I don't think that's an issue with him at all. You know, I think the guy's a top corner.
Visiting with Gerard Powers, former NFL corner and safety. When we talk about these hybrid guys, was there a meeting? Was there a conversation with a coach or general manager when you knew you were going to sort of shift away from being a full-time corner to maybe more of a nickel or a safety or a hybrid guy? How does that just happen naturally? How does that take place?
It's kind of natural. When I got drafted out of Auburn, you know, I played on the outside at corner, but every time we was in sub, I'll slot in at the nickel. So it was something I was doing, you know, from the jump at Auburn. So when I got drafted to the Colts, that was what I was doing. I ended up winning the starting corner spot in training camp. And then whenever we were in sub or nickel, I'll slide in and play inside at nickel, and another corner would come in and play on the outside. And I did that until I got to Arizona and we drafted Tyrann Mathieu. And he played the nickel, and then whenever we was in base or regular personnel, he'll slide back and play the safety position. And then there'll be some packages where he might line up at corner for a few plays. So I think Tyrann kind of put it on the map far as just making it known with his following and his name. You know, people pay more attention to it. And then maybe the year when he had that all-pro year, he started making all those plays, people start – trying to classify him. Is he a safety? Is he a nickel? Is he a corner? And I think that's when the talk really started. And nowadays you see more smart guy. I mean, you see Malcolm Jenkins with Philly. You know, he's been doing it since he's been in the league as well. There's been a few guys that's been doing it, but I think now more coaches and more organizations and teams are just aware of it and looking for guys that can play multiple positions except one, just because it can help them business wise and with picking other players at other positions where you can't play multiple positions, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Gerard Powers, former NFL defensive back, joining us. So you played with Tyrann Mathieu. I know you watched Troy Polamalu play. You watched Ed Reed play when you were growing up as a football player. You didn't play with those guys per se, but when those guys are that talented at that position, and you look at some coming off the board in this draft, like a Jamal Adams out of LSU, like a Malik Hooker from Ohio State, is there any truth or reality at that position in the NFL that sometimes they just have total freedom, that maybe there's not even a real assignment? It's just, hey, we trust you enough that you're going to know where to be and you're going to know how to get to the football.
You know, when it comes to, you know, the guys like your Troys, like your Eds, you know, those guys had to earn that right to do what they did. You know, it's not like those guys came into the league and right away they had that right away to kind of, you know, do what they want. You know, Ed built his trust, his resume with Troy the same way, that it was almost as if they had another D coordinator on the field, another coach on the field. So, you know, Ed was so smart and Troy as well was so smart. And, you know, if he saw something, you know, in game planning, so when he get out there on Sunday and he know what plays coming, he had the ability to tell a corner or a linebacker or the other safety, hey, you do this and switch responsibilities, just because he knew what play was coming, and it allowed him to free up and, you know, make a lot of plays. You know, those guys are one of a kind type guys. And like you say, you see guys like Jamal Adams, who, when you watch his film, you see flashes of it for sure. But him going to New York and under Todd Bowles, who was my coordinator in Arizona, I mean, he's going to have some freedom to do some things, but he's definitely going to have to play within the system and build that trust and that resume to where Ty can trust him to make the right decisions on the field. But I do think Jamal Adams is going to be a heck of a player, because he definitely shows those flashes of Earl Thomas, Ed Reed. He shows those type of flashes, and I love watching him play.
Gerard, great stuff, man. I know you got a tee time, so we're going to let you run, but really do appreciate the time, and let's catch up again soon.
All right, no problem. Appreciate you.
Gerard Powers, former Auburn defensive back, drafted by the Indianapolis Colts, spent some time with the Cardinals and Ravens. I mean, he knows that Ravens secondary well, yeah, that Marlon Humphrey just drafted into, says it could be the best secondary in the NFL next fall. It's not good for Big Ben and my Steelers, but
you had to think also when all the Alabama players dropped to Ozzie Newsome's lap at Baltimore, one of those defensive players had to get taken. Marlon, Jonathan, or Reuben. And it's interesting to see by now, and it makes sense for Baltimore, but it's just interesting that that Marlon Humphrey ended up being the first Alabama player taken. But that pick makes sense for the Ravens.
Well, I mean, you think about Terrence Cody was there, Jarrett Johnson was there, C.J. Mosley is there, and Courtney Upshaw was drafted there. That one didn't work out. So Ozzie Newsome has not shied away from taking Alabama guys, and for the most part, it's worked and been successful for him. So doesn't surprise me that he goes away from it there. And with Gerard announcing his retirement, they did need another body in the secondary. And you heard Gerard, he had very high praise for Marlon. Said he thinks he's a great corner, very physical, likes the way he comes up and plays the run. You're going to have to do that in that Baltimore defense, and feels like he's a good fit. So kind of cool to hear Gerard just talking about the different ways in which the secondary operates, the secondary works at that level. It's so complex and so different than I think really any of us ever imagined that it is. But also sounds like for guys like Marlon, for guys like Gerard, guys that are playing for Saban, guys that are playing for Muschamp, you know, guys that are playing for some of these elite defensive coordinators, it might not be that different.
Right.
It might be very similar, and therefore the transition is not as difficult. So it's going to be cool to watch and see how that takes place. I want to tell you guys about Valley Equipment Rental. Today's Friday, right? Isn't it today Friday?
Friday.
You can stop by Valley Equipment Rental today after 3 p.m., pick up one of the five different size walk-behind tillers, a pressure washer, a stump grinder, any other piece of equipment that they have at Valley Equipment Rental. You pay for one day rental. It's not due back until Monday morning before 8 a.m.
Wait, I pay for one day and I don't bring it back Saturday?
You get it today after 3.
Yeah.
It's due back Monday by 8.
And pay just one day.
One day rental fee. All the equipment you need is at Valley Equipment Rental. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com. The website's completely revamped. Very easy to use, user-friendly. And you can see all the equipment that they offer there. 256-964-6081, 964-6081. They're located at 3551 South Memorial Parkway. That's right there close to Airport Road. Tell Ross and Tanner, the guys we sent you over there at Valley Equipment Rental, great service.